They played for 24 minutes total, and the score came out to 6-16. And they weren't playing by ones. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 16 for Wednesday, the 17th of November of December 2014. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos. With me, as always, is my friend Kent.
What up, man?
Hey, I actually shouldn't say as always because last week I was not on the show.
I was here though.
You were there. So maybe it is as always. Maybe I shouldn't just say that I'm always here. Yeah, last week was pretty much a very hectic week for me. So I between my eardrum trying to blow up on me and just life, I wasn't able to record. It was just too much going on. So thank you and Jeremy for stepping in and stepping up and taking over.
Yeah, it was fun. Too bad you weren't there. We had some good conversation. Hopefully we'll have that up soon. But there's actually two more episodes that need to be published prior to that one.
I was going to ask, how was it? What was it like producing your first episode?
It was interesting. It was different. I was excited for the opportunity. That was actually the main reason that I wanted to go ahead with the podcast after I found out that you were canceling. I wanted to try my hand at producing and show running, and it was cool. Gives me an appreciation for the part that you play, but also gave me a chance to, stretch my creative muscles a little more.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was fun. Probably about halfway through the editing process on the episode.
Now comes the editing, and how's that going?
Well, after you gave me the quick phone tutorial, you gave me the editing essentials in probably about 5 minutes,
and that's really all I needed. And dirty editing in Audition.
Yeah, exactly, and that's really all I needed to get going. But it's been fun. It's very, very time consuming though. that's where the appreciation comes in.
Yeah, now that that comes in, those two that I have in the can that I'm sitting on. Of course, 2 weekends ago, I had a tournament of champions for both of my kids' soccer teams in Dallas. So I was basically down there the entire weekend, which was fun. I mean, they didn't move beyond the initial rounds, like the round robin rounds, into the semifinals or the finals or whatever. But we still had fun, and they played hard, and that's all that I can ask them to do. So And then this last weekend, well, I had my Christmas party, which, that was, oh, man. Like, it was fun, but the stepping up to it was insane because I wasn't involved with it at all until about 4 days prior to the party. Mm-hmm. And at that moment is when I started kicking in and kind of throwing my hand in there and helping out and stuff like that, and got way more involved than I ever planned on being. So,
yeah, the good old Squadron Christmas party.
Yeah. So how was your weekend?
Well, speaking of Christmas parties, that's how my weekend began on Friday. what can you say? It is a Squadron Christmas party. It was fun, but only so much fun, I guess. It was really, all in all, it was a good time. Most of my spare time, other than when I'm at the dojo, was pretty much messing with the podcast or spending time with the boys and stuff. So,
nice.
Nothing too crazy.
So, this winter has been pretty sucky. Like I'm usually not sick at all. I get sick maybe once a year for about a day and a half.
Yeah. That's the Amos I know.
Yeah. This winter, I've had a couple of sinus infections. I've got an ear infection right now. It's about a week old that the doctor told me to take some Sudafed and it'd clear itself up. So that hasn't quite happened yet. And, this weekend on Saturday night, I thought I was going to die. Like, I'll be just flat out honest with you. I thought I was dying. long story short, trip to the ER and one each kidney stone later. I would rather break a leg while falling down some stairs after getting kicked in the nuts, after having a hammer hit me in the face, than have another kidney stone.
Oh my God, man.
Like, it was literally the most pain I've ever felt in my life. And it set in when we were out to dinner with two other families.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah. Rushed to the ER. I don't know how fast my wife was driving my truck, but my truck got me to the hospital pretty quick. And wow, it sucked. I kept it. It's about that big. Didn't seem that big, and you know, until you realize where it's coming out of.
Right.
And I'm sure any woman listening has got alternate opinions of my pain level, but I will honestly say that I'd rather have a finger chopped off than go through that again.
Wow, like, man. It was. Scotty went through that a few years ago, and yeah, he said pretty much exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
It was on my
right side, and as I was looking up the I was sitting on the toilet because I thought maybe that's what it was, and as I was realizing that's not what it was, I was looking on my phone to see what the symptoms could be, you know, and either I had a kidney stone or my my appendix burst.
Yeah, yep.
One is going to pass in an hour or two, and the other one is life threatening. So I didn't take the chance.
Right. Yeah. Good choice.
Yeah. You don't want to get that one wrong the wrong way.
No.
So
exactly.
Oh my God. But yeah, so that was that pretty much capped it off. And by comparison, the pain in my ear that I was experiencing is nothing. It's just annoying that I can't hear out of this side.
Yeah. So,
which brings into question, why do I have this headphone in? You know, whatever.
Because it feels awkward otherwise.
It really does. It really does. Okay. So that was our weekends. Time now for the beer of the night. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Sierra Nevada Celebration. It's an IPA. Mm. It's pretty tasty. It's a mild IPA. It's got the hoppiness to it, but it's really mellow. It's not one of those you know, smack in the face hop hopped up beers that I really like. This is one that I can drink a couple of during the week and be okay.
go ahead and show the label again. I spoke over and the camera flipped. Say something so it flips over to you.
Oh yeah, here is the bottle for all of our viewers.
There you go. Okay, cool. My beer this week, I had a couple brand new ones. We had a bunch of beer donated for our Christmas party, so that was pretty cool by the local distilleries or breweries or distributors or whatever they are. That's totally your deal, not mine. So we found one beer in particular that I set off to the side before the party and have held on to until this moment right here, all right?
Okay.
I am going to go ahead and show the label. All right, here's the label.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know anything about it. They said it was spicy. It's got a little heat to it and a little sweet to it. I don't know if that's mole stout.
I would probably call that mole stout.
Okay. It says ale with peppers, cocoa, and spices. By Ska Brewing, Durango, Colorado. And Durango, Colorado is actually a really nice town if you ever get the chance to go there.
Interesting. I'm not familiar with that beer.
I am not either. It's autumnal. Autumnal? I don't know how to say that. I can read it just fine. I just
don't
know how to say it. So
it's a seasonal.
yeah. It's a can. So I'm going to go ahead and I thought about saving it until you got here so we could share it, but I don't know. What do you think? Should I wait? Because you're actually going to be here in a couple weeks.
You're prepared to drink it, dude. Open it. Do it.
That's okay. Let's crack this son of a bitch up then. All right. First things first. Let's go with a. Okay, there's no head in the can at all. No head, no pop, no fizz. It actually looks like cola, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, it's a stout, so stouts tend to be flatter than most beers.
It's got a good aroma to it. I should have brought a glass out here so I could pour it in there so you could actually see what kind of head it is.
Right.
Ah, fucking loser. Okay. So it's got a good aroma to it. It's really dark. Like I can't even see the bottom of the can popper thing,
mm-hmm.
the can tab. So all right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
You have the look of surprise on your face.
Very much so. It actually tastes. Okay, so you know when you're sitting around eating some good barbecue wings and they got some heat to them. I'm not talking about your shitty. I'm just gonna slap a bunch of Tabasco on some fried wings crap, right? I'm talking some like some really good barbecue hot wings.
Sure. Yep.
This tastes like the taste that's in your mouth of beer and hot wings.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's
Are you getting any of the chocolatiness of the
Oh
the
yeah,
cocoa?
You can. Yep, there's definite cocoa after flavor. It's really good.
Very nice. That's the only can that you got of it, right?
Of course. Of course, yeah. But it's a local. It's sold locally, so I'll have to check around before they sell out of it, or cool. See if we can find it or whatever. But man, it's not really thick, but it's very flat, not a lot of carbonation to it at all, mm-hmm. and even the after flavor it carries that same tone, and I can actually taste a little bit of a tingle to it, like a little heat to it.
Hmm. Very nice. Most of the beers that I've tried that's got, you know, chilies or something in it have been kind of, I appreciate your efforts, but not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'd be interested in trying that. Sounds good.
I would be interested in buying some and sharing it with you.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're going to be in the same place at the same time in about 2 weeks' time.
Oh my gosh, I know, right?
So it's kind of exciting. We're going to do a spatially tandem.
A live cast?
Yeah, spatially tandem. Is that did I just coin that, or is that a real thing?
Spatially
tandem.
Wow.
Live cast, special New Year's Eve episode.
Yeah.
We've got some ideas that's probably going to make it a special episode. We've got 2 weeks to work on it. So
the fact that we're going to be frickin' hammered, does that count for anything special?
Well, yeah, that's maybe we should make this a patron only. That's right, we don't have any patrons. That's another thing we need to get the Patreon up and running.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the fact that we don't have any patrons is mostly due to our lack of effort. So
right, that's true.
We need to bump that up in the priority list.
If this was next year, that's something
we can handle too. So
yeah, exactly. If this was next year. The episode we're going to do would probably be a patron-only episode.
Yeah.
So if you're a sometimes listener, sometimes watcher, or whatever, you might want to tune in for this one.
Speaking of which, a good friend of mine and a strong acquaintance of yours, I guess you could say, Matt. I'm going to find out what he's doing for New Year's.
Okay. Yeah.
There might be some Scooby snacks and some shots going around for that one. That's so
very cool.
All right. So we'll
come up with a bunch of stuff. Yeah, we'll come up with a bunch of stuff. We'll make it a cool episode for sure.
Make it worthwhile. It's gonna be like 4 hours long.
Yeah, probably. It'll definitely be longer than the 1 hour or under target that we have.
Yeah. So it's. Go from 2 weeks from now or whatever it is to this last week. What's the geekiest thing you did all week? I see you got a little note in here. What's this about?
Yeah, well, my boys are all into the trading card games, you know, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, a bunch of other ones, and they've pretty much forced me to learn a new one. They've been playing it for probably a couple months now, and they finally twisted my arm this last week into learning how to play it. It's called Vanguard, or the official term, the official name of it is Card Fight Vanguard. That's what Isaac tells me. That's the correct pronunciation of the name of the game. It's pretty cool though. It's similar to Magic. I mean, it's the same kind of, you've got cards and they fight your opponent's cards, you know. But it's got some interesting twists. I don't know. I'm just now learning it. I've played it probably 5 or 6 times now, so I'm still a total noob. So I can't, I don't know. I don't know all of the minutia of it yet, so I'm still learning. But the more I play it, the more interesting the game gets to me. So I think I'm going to keep playing it. I don't know if I'm ready to buy my own cards or just, I think I'm just going to continue playing with the boys' decks.
Mooching off theirs.
Yeah, but it's interesting. The boys love it. So yeah, I'm probably going to be playing a lot more of it in the future. Have you ever even heard of it?
Never.
Yeah, I'd say I'd never heard of it either before a few months ago. But apparently, like most things geeky like this, it was huge in Japan for several years. I guess
that,
it probably
that also
is.
Explains the name.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very Japanese name. There's an anime, of course. There's several seasons into it. As far as I know, it's still current. Isaac has constantly been watching it on Hulu. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting show because the first couple of episodes actually teaches you how to play the game because they play the game during the course of the show.
Mm.
But it's not just like a couple of dudes having fun playing a card game. It's like, it's deadly serious in the show. So it's kind of amusing to me. And Isaac gets kind of annoyed at me because I will laugh out loud at some of the crap that they say because I'm just thinking in my head, they're playing a damn card game. This isn't that serious, but apparently it is that serious.
Hmm.
So I don't know. It's interesting. If you have a few minutes, look it up and check it out. It's pretty neat. So what was your geekiest thing of the week?
I actually, last week during, you know, the whole, cyber week, whatever, got a decent deal on a new Mac mini. I got a couple monitors, new monitors, cause the crappy ones we had out there just sucked. And, took those monitors, attached them to the Mac minis. The new Mac mini replaced an old Windows computer that's actually in a box behind me and set it up as a server for the house. My intention originally was to set it up to allow roaming profiles similar to, you know, the how we used to have it work.
Sure.
So when the kids logged onto one Mac or they logged onto another Mac, either one, it still had all the same stuff in the desktop, the same desktop themes, all that kind of stuff. Couldn't quite get it to work. I spent all day Sunday working on it. Couldn't quite get it. So backed off a little bit, still using it. I still have server installed and still using several of the features of server. But not the roaming profiles that I originally wanted. But yeah, that was a long day of learning a lot of things about how Macs are different than the Windows servers that I have administered before. Sony Pictures Entertainment has been hacked. It took almost a week for emails to get back for the employees.
Yeah.
The hackers call themselves GOP. Guardians of Peace.
Yeah.
Man, I don't even know how to tackle this. I know you wanted to talk about it and everything, but it's so huge.
And yeah. Well.
So
okay.
Far reaching.
Well. Here's the thing. You touched on it a minute ago. A couple years ago, 2-3 years ago. Sony got hacked, a big hack to the PlayStation Network, and everybody thought that was huge. And yeah, it was a big deal. User accounts got hacked, and you know, people's passwords got put out there, and there were some issues with credit cards and whatnot. And that was a big deal. Don't get me wrong, but this hack is something. It's something else entirely. This was huge. This was the target was Sony Pictures Entertainment. So the sister company. Yeah, this is the movie production
arm of Sony.
Right, exactly. The hack happened on November 24th, and the first evidence that they got of this is that all the employees came to work Monday morning, logged into their computers, and they were greeted with, instead of their normal logon screen, they were greeted with a graphic. It was like a skull or I think it was like a skeleton.
So it's a red skeleton on a very dark background.
Right, and there was a message basically saying that, you know, fuck you, we hacked you, and
we've already warned you, and this is just the beginning. We'll continue our until we continue till our request be met. We've obtained all your internal data, including your secrets and top secrets. If you don't obey us, we'll release data shown below to the world. Determine what you will do till November the 24th at 11 p.m.
Yeah, so obviously 11
p.m. GMT, which is like probably rough conversion, maybe 2 hours after Sony actually opens in the morning.
Yeah, so obviously it's not native English speakers. So that eliminates some suspects, I would think. But yeah, this hack, it didn't just invade their systems and, you know, poke around or whatever. They stole 100 terabytes or over 100 terabytes of data, which is basically probably drained their servers basically. And then they destroyed their servers. After they stole everything, they basically told the hard drives to spin until they don't work anymore.
Right.
So it was very destructive, not only in the theft of a whole lot of sensitive data, a whole lot of intellectual property, but it was also extremely costly just on the hardware side of it, from all of the servers and the workstations and you know, all sorts of horrible issues. It was, like you said, about a week before the employees were able to even check their email.
Yeah, a few things that made this that immediately made this distinctive amongst hacks. First of all, the hackers typically, when they go in to find what they can find, and then they leave and they try not to be detected. This wasn't just, they weren't trying to hide the fact they were there. They were very open about the hack itself. The second part of it is that typically when hackers when hackers hack into a system, they look to see what's there. They may take some data, but they don't actually disrupt the data that is currently there. And these hackers destroyed data. Like there's data lost now that will never be recovered. And
They've got backups. They almost have to have backups. Now, the most recent changes or the most recent additional files to the server, yeah, okay, it's probably lost. But I would say that they haven't lost anything over anything older than a couple weeks old, I would think.
I would say that that might be the case, except for the third point, which is that these hackers seem to know the intricacies of Sony Entertainment's network. They knew server names, they knew server addresses, hardware addresses, all that kind of stuff. So they may have specifically targeted different servers in order to create the most damage and to destroy certain things that they knew were there.
True. And that's two things come to mind. Either, which I think is the more likely of the two scenarios, is it was partially an inside job. Like they had an inside man.
Right.
More than likely, it's somebody they blackmailed or paid a very large sum of money to. That's
or just someone that was pissed off and disgruntled. I mean,
it could be. But the other scenario, which I think is less likely, is that these hackers have been going into the network for a very long time and getting away with it and looking around and basically have free access to the network. I think that's less likely.
I don't know that those two ideas are mutually exclusive, however.
Well, yeah, you know what? It could be a combination of the two. They could have been there for a while, and they could even have found their inside guy by that poking way around, find somebody that's got some financial difficulties or whatever, because they had access to everybody's finances, their payroll,
Social Security numbers, emails. Guy. Yeah, this is, this is at all levels. You know, personal or home addresses of movie stars and of employees, contracts, socials, budgets, emails, personal emails.
Their passports, their
everything,
their salary. Yeah, personal emails. there were screenplays. There were entire movies, finished yet unreleased movies.
On the BitTorrent before it is even in theater.
yeah, exactly.
Full quality.
Yeah, and that's the other part of that is that they're basically dumping it out to the internet and say, yep, here you go. We stole all this stuff. Here you go. Everybody can have it now.
Yep.
And they're kind of time releasing it because they're talking about this is our Christmas gift to Sony, and we're going to release a little bit of it at a time, and supposedly on Christmas Day is when the last of it and the most damaging of it is going to come out.
And here's the killer part to me is that we don't know what their demands were, if they even had any demands. I mean, in all fairness, they may not have. We don't know what the demands were. We don't know what Sony's efforts to meet those demands were, but we know the consequences of them not meeting those demands if those demands were made. Sony has offered 1 year, which I think is crap, but 1 year of credit protection for anybody whose social was taken.
They did that. God bless them for that.
Here's $69 worth of hopefulness. It didn't seem, it didn't seem all that genuine to me. It seems like something they kind of had to do. Like the lawyers were like, oh yeah, just do this now. Just do it. Just do it.
Well, there's class action lawsuits going up left and right from employees and former employees.
Oh yeah. There's even intel that Sony may have been warned a few years ago about something like this going on after the PlayStation Network hack. However, the hackers used to get in there now is exactly what they were warned against a couple years ago. So,
yeah, and you know, and I'm kind of wondering if those two hacks are related or if this is just coincidence, really, because the target, or I guess the catalyst or the scapegoat or whatever for this hack is the movie called The Interview. It was supposed to be released on Christmas Day. Sony has now, as of a couple hours ago, pulled it, and they are not planning to release it now.
Right.
Certainly not on Christmas Day, and possibly not at all. the basic idea of the movie is that two bumbling idiots get they're like reporters or whatever, and they get tasked by the CIA to attempt to assassinate Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. It's a stupid comedy. It's Seth Rogen. I mean, it's going to be a stupid comedy. It's not going to be any kind of a serious anything.
North Korea has come out and said that it's an act of war.
Of course. This is standard North Korea rhetoric. I follow North Korea pretty closely in the media, and this is exactly what I would be surprised if they didn't say something about it.
Yeah, it's not a matter of they said something about this. It's a matter of why isn't the world listening to noting more of the crap that they're saying stuff about? Because they're always saying something about something.
Yeah, it's because ultimately, I mean, they don't fucking matter as much as they think they matter.
They really don't. They can't even get the nukes above ground. So.
I say this during a lot of our episodes, but North Korea is another episode in itself. I've got a lot of things to say about that.
Yeah.
So basically what the current theory is that North Korea either from within or more than likely hired a hacking group to do this. I think that's probably what they did. They probably threw a couple million bucks at some group of hackers that they came across, and this is what happened. So, yeah, it sucks to be Sony right now.
And speaking of people with the right mindset and the right abilities, have you heard about Bullshit?
Bullshit? I hear about Bullshit all the time.
No. I'm speaking specifically of Bullshit by Cards Against Humanity.
Ooh, Cards Against Humanity, one of my favorite games of all time.
Right. So go ahead and click that little link there, and I'm going to speak you to this as you peruse the site. Cards Against Humanity, as a protest against consumerism on Black Friday, took off everything from their online store except for a box of what they called bullshit. They stated on there that they were going to sell a box of bullshit for $6. People ran to it and bought this, hoping to find something hidden inside, some secret treasure that Cards Against Humanity was ready to display. And 30,000 of these boxes sold within just a few hours on the website, netting Cards Against Humanity $180,000 in Black Friday sales. You know what was in the packages when they started arriving this week?
Bullshit.
That's right. Actual, full-fledged, no shit, bullshit.
That is amazing.
And then there are videos of people crumbling this dried bullshit with their hands, hoping to find something inside.
Oh my God.
And last time I checked, the original $6 box of bullshit in an unopened state is now going for upwards of $50 on auction sites.
Oh my God. That's amazing. That is genius. Good job, Cards Against Humanity.
Yes, that is so awesome. And the founder of Cards Against Humanity was like, "Hey, if you bought it, you bought a $6 lesson in life there, buddy."
Oh my God. And this is explicitly on their ad for this sale.
Yes.
It's like an FAQ. It says, "Are you selling any of your normal products today? No. Is this actual poop? Yes.
Yes.
Is it also something that's not poop? No. Can I return it when I realize that it's actually just poop? No.
No.
Is the poop dangerous? No. The poop is sterilized. Is it legal to mail poop? Only one way to be sure. Why is the poop only $6? Through the magic of incredible Black Friday super savings." That's amazing. So there you go.
Absolutely amazing bullshit. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And as soon as I saw that happen, I had to share it with you.
That is awesome. I love the game Cards Against Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
My respect level for them just kind of went up a couple notches. That is amazing.
So speaking of bullshit, though, have you been to a children's choir?
A children's choir?
A children's choir. I'm not talking about a church choir. I'm talking about a school choir.
Other than your standard run-of-the-mill Christmas program, here's the whole class singing Rudolph or something like that?
No. I'm speaking of specifically the choir class, not just, you know, just random kids.
For an elementary age group of children?
This is middle school, but yeah. Okay, so
same thing.
Let me tell you about this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I understood the words to one of the songs, kinda. And it was the only one that I hadn't actually heard before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell they're saying. I can hear the tune, and sometimes that's enough to enjoy it. But man,
I've heard some good high school choirs, but yeah, children's
yeah.
I don't know. I've heard children's choirs in church before that were decent, but not, I don't know. These were Christmas
carols, and I didn't understand the words to the songs, and I could hear just fine.
That's crazy to me. That's like, why would you be in choir if you're not going to like sing?
There were kids that weren't singing. They were on stage for like 10 minutes and never opened their mouth.
Wow. So this was probably like I don't want to say you're forced to be in the choir, but it's okay. You either take art or choir, and oh man, I don't know how to draw, and I hate playing with clay. They always make me play with clay, and I don't like it. Screwed. I'll just be in the choir.
This is purely elective. Like, they could choose whether or not they wanted to take part in it. They could have done something else. Completely elective.
Yeah.
And some of these kids didn't even open their mouth.
That sounds like a not the best school, perhaps. I don't know.
I can go on and on about that. Talk about other episodes. So then here's the other part. And I've never been to one of these school choirs where the choir teacher has not taken every opportunity to showcase her own abilities in singing.
Really?
Little secret, children. She can't fucking sing.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. It's horrible. It's like, it's so bad that if she ever listened to this episode and knew that it was talking about her, I would feel bad. And that says a lot for me.
You don't typically feel bad about this, as long as you're telling the truth in your own mind, you don't care that the target of that truth hears. Yeah.
Oh my God. She is so awful. We were sitting there and she got on stage, and at the very beginning of it, when she got up there and started directing the choir, I turned to my wife and I said, she starts singing, I'm walking the hell out of here. And my wife was like, you better stay for our kids.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, this woman could say three words into a microphone and I want to punch her in the face.
Oh my.
It's that awful. Wow. Yeah. And it's just, man, so I mentioned my Christmas party, and at my Christmas party, one of the prizes, the only prize that was there that I cared to win, I mean, they had a like 55-inch TV, and they had a grill, and they had all kinds of other stuff. I mean, they had some pretty cool stuff. They had GoPro and PS4 and stuff.
Oh, they had GoPros at mine, too. Why are GoPros like the thing to have now?
Can you imagine having a POV camera in high definition in the dorms on your dorm days? Just saying. I'm just going to throw that out there, man.
God.
Yeah, yeah, see, now right you know.
Moving right along.
So the prize that was there that I wanted, they had an original Nintendo Entertainment System action pack.
Shut the front door.
Yes, in the original box with the original price tag on it. We had the gun, two controllers, the combo pack of Mario, Duck Hunt, and... track meet or whatever it was.
It had
the game pad, like the exercise pad, the track and field pad. Yeah. It had that. All of it was in original packaging except for the track pad. Apparently it was in a different box. It had gotten destroyed. Fully functional and had been donated to the squadron for drawing at the Christmas party, and the person that won it didn't even want it.
Oh my God.
I know. Like, I was having a big old nerdgasm all night long. I didn't win shit. That's all I wanted.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the rehash or anything else. I'm talking original versions.
The only thing that could have made that better is if it had the fucking robot with it.
Oh, I know. The robot of the power glove? Yeah.
Yeah. What was his name? Rob
the robot. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't believe, oh my God, why would somebody donate this? And then, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. The part that gets me was the original packaging. I mean, the box, I mean, it wasn't in pristine condition, but it's still original packaging. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been bam right there, my nerd wall. The box would have been on my nerd wall. The game system would have been hooked up to a freaking TV somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Oh,
which I can imagine is probably why they donated it, because they couldn't find a TV to play it on anymore.
That's a problem.
Not really. All you have to do is buy a DAC, digital analog converter.
Oh, well, yeah, there's ways. But there's no out of the box, hey, I'm going to hook this.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you can't find TVs with the RF.
Yeah, I've got a few analog
channel 3 RF anymore.
Yeah, I've got a few old CRTs laying around the house specifically because I have old game systems.
Yep.
In fact, here in my library, I've got an SNES, an Atari 7800, and a VCR. hooked to a little.
It's not a library, dude. It's a fucking museum.
Exactly. That's the theme that I was going for. For all the audio listeners, you should really go to YouTube and look us up and watch this episode because there's a lot of visuals in this one.
Or just go by Best Buy and look at the three that. Boxes yourself.
Yeah, just do a drive-by of the shelf.
Or even better, go to ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com. Click on the Amazon banner and look at the pictures in that site. And if you decide to buy one, just make sure you put it in your shopping cart within 24 hours of clicking on our banner and then buy it within 90 days.
That sounds like a great idea. Why on earth would our listeners want to do something like that?
Oh, well, there's a rumor going around that that Amazon, well, they might be kicking a few small cents our way.
That would be, could it be so simple that, you know, I shop on Amazon all the time, like two or three times a week, I buy something from Amazon. Could it really possibly be where if I go to our Blogspot and click on the banner and then just buy the things that I normally buy anyway, that our podcast is going to benefit from that?
Yeah, like,
Well, okay, that must be added to my bill, right? Like, I must pay, like, you know, a dollar or two just to, you know, to contribute. Like, it's going to ask me, would you like to contribute one extra dollar to the Ritual Misery podcast? It's
going
to
be like that, right? Well, see, here's the thing. Amazon, they're smarter than that. They know that if you go and you click on one of their banners, especially if it's on the ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com site, and you click on that banner right there, and then you go to Amazon and the prices are more expensive, you're not only not going to go back to our site, you're not going to go back to theirs. So they're smarter than that. They've already thought of that. And what they do instead, they just go ahead and keep the prices the same.
No way.
Exactly the same. Including specials, rebates, additional sales, all that stuff. It's all there exactly as if you'd gone to Amazon.com instead.
So you're saying the things that I buy all the time anyway, I can give the Ritual Misery podcast a few cents from my purchases and I pay the same thing that I've been paying this whole time?
The whole process is exactly the same, just a different website to visit and one extra click.
Oh my gosh. That
you don't have to fill out no forms. There's no questionnaires. You don't have to head an extra check mark. There's no big guilt trip about having to feed the environment or save the pygmies or anything else.
Oh wow.
You just go to ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com. You click on the Amazon banner. It's right there at the top. You can't miss it. It's boom, right there. And then you just go about your normal daily business doing whatever it is that you want to do on Amazon, buying anything that you want to buy. As long as it goes into your shopping cart within 24 hours and as long as you actually purchase it and ship it to your house within 90 days, Ritual Misery gets a tiny, tiny little bit of that.
That's awesome, man. So the Ritual Misery podcast is going to make maybe a buck or two off of, you know, a bunch of people going to this thing. What the heck is the Ritual Misery podcast going to do with these couple of bucks?
Oh, well, see, I'm glad you asked. Ritual Misery podcast, you and I, we have things that we need to do, things to make the show better, things to make the show easier. We would like a soundboard to add effects and music to our shows.
Make the show better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. How about this? How about just improving the quality of your video?
Oh, that would be awesome because my video is not the greatest.
It's pretty gnarly. I mean, I've seen your face in person. I didn't think you'd get any worse until I saw the video.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Yeah, I know. It sucks. It's terrible.
Or, how about actually making a video production level? I mean, actually having a producer that knows what they're doing and the correct lighting to where you're not seeing the glare on the top of my head and we're not seeing the monitor glow in your face.
Oh.
How about something like that?
Can it be? That would be awesome.
It definitely could. Or let's just break it down and make it a little more simple. Here's the deal. You ready for this? I have an amazing, outstanding deal for you right now.
I'm ready.
If we can get enough support through our Amazon link, and we don't even care what you buy, whether it's It's fleshlights or pantyhose. We don't care. Anything you buy on Amazon.com through our link, it helps us out just a little bit. And if we get enough people buying their Christmas shopping, their after Christmas sales, their birthday shopping, Valentine's Day is coming up, gentlemen. Anything that you buy on there and you help us out just that little bit, if we get enough, if we get it consistently enough, we can shorten your load. That's right. We can make it to where instead of writing ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com, which seriously, you should just favorite it anyway. Instead of having to type all of that and going to some Google site that you're really not that familiar with, we can make our own site.
Oh, that would be so cool if Ritual Misery Podcast had its own website.
Yeah.
Could that be possible just from people buying their normal stuff on Amazon?
Very possible. Very easy. Just ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com. Click on the Amazon banner. Buy anything that you want and help us out. We would so appreciate it. We'll get this thing going. We'll get this thing rolling. And very importantly, we'll get our significant others off our backs for all the time we're spending doing this.
Oh, that would be cool. If they're like, oh, what? Why are you spending so much time? Hey, baby. I made a little bit of money today.
Yeah.
Okay. Carry on. That'd be nice.
Why don't I just take you out to lunch tomorrow with my Amazon banner earning?
I made $4.75 today.
Hey, we going Burger King. I'll get you a meal. I just eat some of your fries.
That would be fantastic. No, but that would be awesome if everybody could go to ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com, click that banner. You're going to order stuff from Amazon anyway. Dude, do that. We're going to get a few bucks. Like, seriously, if we've got like 10 people going there and spending like a couple $100 like they're going to do for Christmas anyway, we're going to get a few bucks, man. And it will really go a long way in helping us get a domain, some web hosting, maybe over the next few months, if it's consistent enough, maybe we can buy some equipment and stuff. But all of the money that we earn through that, it really is going to help the podcast, because that is where the money is going to go. So if you guys could help us out, that would be awesome. No extra cost to you. That would be amazing.
Nothing. It's just a quick link. And honestly, once you type in ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com, and you click on the banner and go from there. From that point on, anytime you type in ritual into your title bar, it's going to bring up the link anyway. So, I mean, you're just going to be able to go RIT, boom, there it is. Okay, click and go.
Yeah, even the newest version of Internet Explorer does that now. They used to piss me off in the old IE where you would type in like 3 letters and it'll pop up. But when you hit enter, it's like, oh no, I went to RIT. Like, why can't you find RIT?
RIT? RIT?
Like, shut the fuck up. Anyway,
worst thing ever.
But even IE, even that shitty browser, it does it now. So just type in RIT and then you'll go right to our website. So, boom, boom, ta-da. Right. anyway.
If folks would like to see exactly how you're contributing to the podcast, where can they find you, Kent?
if you're on Twitter, check out @RM_DelNoche. That's the best place to follow me. I was talking earlier while you're retrieving your Google Chrome and your Fire Stick. I was talking a little bit about ratebeer.com. Look up username Del Noche, and you can follow my beer exploits there. That's the two main places that you want to follow me on the web. What about you, man?
Awesome. I'm pretty easy. You can find me at Ethan Kane on Twitter. You can even follow the show itself on Twitter. @RitualMisery. You can always submit ideas. If you have something you want us to talk about or whatever else, you can submit ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can email us at ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. You can find us, of course, as we stated, our home on the web, ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com. You can even call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. Our music comes courtesy of Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening. For me, for Kent, for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
so, my gosh. You know, it was just, man, it was awful. It was, so I'm going again next week. I have to. It was just
yes. Oh.